coming back to the 12 joys of Jesus that we didn't have a chance to dig into a little further last week, these were just really something special to me growing in the Lord, because I didn't, in the beginning, not going to any churches anywhere. I didn't have any of the lingo. I didn't know what joy was or anything like that. But after I got saved, it was like something really new and alive happened on the inside. And even though, probably unlike any of you, I still have moments I'm not experiencing great joy, maybe for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and you wouldn't know that. But these truths still prevail. I'd left off about knowing that we have been translated from Satan's power of darkness and into Christ's kingdom. In Colossians 1:13 was the scripture that really, as I began to read these wonderful books that I never cared to look at before, these things that maybe some of you discovered a long time ago, long before I did, I'm very thankful that I did discover them eventually. And I talked about, this is just kind of in review, I talked about being translated, and I related it to Star Trek and the Enterprise and Beam Us Up, Scotty. And being translated is to like be taken from one place to another suddenly in an instant without any known method of transportation. Like Philip, the evangelist, and in the desert. And he disappeared from the eunuch's sight so quickly after his baptism, after he believed in Jesus. Philip was gone in an instant. And he appeared 30 miles away. And he was just here and then gone. And it's kind of like the rapture, where suddenly you're here and suddenly you're not. And all your belongings are all left behind. And it's like that when we get saved. It's like everything that we knew before, everything that we were before, suddenly it gets left behind. And the new man in Christ is revealed. And knowing that truth has kept me, for the most part, from going back to the BC days and not wanting to go back there anymore. Even with drums, I quit playing drums for 8 years after I got saved, until the Lord had delivered me from all of the old demonic rock and roll satanic drum beats of Africa that a lot of the music I played came from. And until that was all gone, and it took 8 years for that to all go away. And then I didn't know anything about even what to play anymore. And then somebody brought a set of drums to the church and set them there. And I've started learning to play again, but it is so different. It's different. I don't want to play loud anymore like I used to, loud and crash, smash, bang, and make a big noise. I just like to sit in the corner and just learn to worship the Lord with the drums, and just kind of blend in with everybody else so that it fills the room with sound, but it's not an overpowering instrument, which could easily be in a room this size. That's one change, but it was major in my life, because all the rock and roll I played certainly did not glorify the Lord. And when I got saved, that was one of the first things that stopped, was the music part. I still admire the talent of some of my favorite guitarists. I think of Eric Clapton as one. Santana, the lead guitarists in Santana, that are so incredibly talented and gifted. And I always wondered if they got saved, that talent and that skill and that ability could come into the kingdom of God and really create some beautiful, beautiful melodies, and they could really enrich the body of Christ. But that's one of my joys, was knowing that, and this happened really quickly, that I wasn't the Rick that everybody saw on Sunday, and I got saved on a Monday, and then I went back to work on Tuesday, and everything was so radically different, and I suddenly realized that something really incredibly spiritually powerful happened. But being translated, and then I had a scripture in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 27. You might find that a little strange. I sort of did, but nevertheless, I came across it reading and remembering some things that happened to Daniel, going in the lion's den. Excuse me. But this is something that the king who had sentenced Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den, he paid a high price for his faith walk, or he was willing to. And you can read down through how when the king lamented, he spent the night in fasting because he was so grieved in his spirit of what had happened to Daniel. He liked Daniel. And Daniel wasn't a threat to his kingdom. But nevertheless, he had made a decree and he had to honor his word. And you got to come back to verse 20, because this is right after, it was the next morning, and the king had fasted, and as best as he knew how to pray, he prayed. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Plural. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions? And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before you, O king, whom I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. In verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. I could imagine the big snack. And broke all the bones in pieces, for ever they came at the bottom of the den. And then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And that's how I realized that is exactly like a salvation experience, very prophetic in how we've been delivered. Who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? That's right. And we have been delivered from all of his power. We don't have to bow down. We don't have to worship him. We don't have to fear him. That's finished in our lives. The only chance he gets is when we open the door, and he's like a vacuum cleaner salesman. You give him this much of your door, and boom, he tries to come in and wreak shipwreck in your life. But I've come to realize this and Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 go hand in hand. All of us, whether we realized it or not, have been delivered from all the power of the enemy. And I know those lions were hungry, because that's very descriptive of what happened at breakfast time. Well, Daniel wasn't breakfast. And the lion, the serpent who goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour just anyone. He goes for the weak ones. He goes for those that are in and out of their faith. They're not consistent. They're not steady. They're not holding fast. And they let their guard down. And they get careless. And he looks for an opening in our lives. But I've come to realize, even with simple little scriptures like these, the power of those in a person's life. And I started with mine, because I can only talk about me. And if it didn't work for me, you don't have any hope. If he can save me, there is hope for the person that you're holding out for. And you don't stop. Don't stop believing. Like Journey, don't stop believing. And then the next one, knowing Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And I put my in there because I'm part of the hour. And you should do the same if you haven't. There's nothing wrong with coming into agreement with the Lord and what he's done for you. When I think of forgiveness, the way the Lord forgives us, he doesn't just forgive the sins. He doesn't just wash them over and cover them over. The scriptures tell us that he's removed them from as far as the east is from the west. If you could draw a straight line, there would be no end to it. And not only that, but he's chosen to forget them. So don't let the enemy get to you with, oh, remember what you said yesterday? Remember how you treated that person last week in the store? No, and you don't have to. When you know down in your heart, there's no way that you can't enjoy every day and find joy in that day of knowing these truths, because you'll never be the person you used to be before you got saved. And continuously the Lord is molding us and conforming us more and more into his likeness. And remember what we were reading before about asking, and Jesus said that one of the earmarks of a believer was that we would forgive others as he forgave us. Do you still remember things that you forgave somebody for? Then you haven't really forgiven them. It needs to be gone. You need to let those people go. Priscilla and I were chatting at huggy break time. And I'm not proud to say some of these things, but I'll tell you, when you come to realize these truths, there were people in my life that I never forgave. I didn't want to forgive. I liked holding on to it because it made me feel good, like I was powerful and was a person of authority, and I could just hold people to account for the wrongs and the hurts. And I'm probably not unlike any of you. There might have been people in your life that really got to you. They rubbed that hair up the wrong way on your neck, you know, and really got under your skin. And you forgave them, but yet it still bothers you. It's time to let it go. Can you imagine if Jesus did that with us? Well, I'll give some of my blood today, but I don't know about some of you. I think I'll just hold back for a while. And in reality, that's what we do. Well, I've come to know that God doesn't do that. I haven't found any place that he... Oh, I did find one unforgivable sin. And that's attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And that conversation came up with Jesus and the Pharisees. And they accused him of the miracles that he did, of being of the devil. And Jesus said, all sin is forgiven except blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe that any of us would knowingly do that, because the Holy Spirit in us would stop us. And if God's forgiveness extended that far, that brings me really a joy inside of me that I'm free. And it's a joy to just tell you, you're free. And if you didn't hear anything else today, that will sustain you. Knowing that you're free. You're free in Christ. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. What did he free us from? A life of bondage? A life of hardness in many cases? A life of being somebody's doormat? Being used, abused, thrown away like you're worth nothing? You're precious. You're his beloved. You're his pearls of great price. And he's washed you completely, 100%, and with his precious blood. I know we should have talked about that last week, but we kind of did. But I like to talk about it every week. I like to think about it every day. Because no matter what mud hole I find myself in, by the end of the day, it's blood washed. And that gives me joy. I don't lay awake at night thinking, oh, and fretting, God, what if I die tonight and I did something and I didn't ask the Lord to forgive me. I never go to bed and struggle with things like that, because I know inside that I've come into agreement with the Father and what he said to me in his word. A lot of people read the scriptures from a theological perspective, but I love to read it from my Father's heart. What was in his heart when he spoke these words? What was he thinking about when he had me or you as an individual in his heart when he wrote what he wrote? If we have the record of what he wrote and the ability to bring ourselves into agreement with him. That's why if you think you're all alone, one with God is a majority. Never alone. And this isn't just a feel-good message. It's a rejoicing message. Because to me, I didn't know any of these things, and I'm still learning and I'm still growing, but I'm also still almost taken aback at these truths. And to pick them up again and read them, I'm not interested so much in the 12 days of Christmas, but I'm interested in the 12 joys of Jesus. And yes, I put the title on it because it's what made my heart so glad and so rejoicing. And he wants to do that with all of us. That's his will, that we all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The truth of what? That he is the truth, and in him is no lie. And whatever he said is true. And we don't find absolute truth in the society that we live in much anymore. But this is the real truth. Coca-Cola used to think they had it, but Jesus, he's the real thing. And he's not lying. Oh, perhaps next week I'll do this next one. Knowing we've been justified. Justified is a fantastic word. It means just as if I never sinned. Wow. If we could learn to treat each other like that, what a difference it would make in our homes, our fellowships, everywhere we go. If we know these things, each one of us is blood-bought brothers and sisters. We have no reason to hold anything against anybody in the body of Christ, because you know what? That blood was shed for them too. And we need to see people through the filter of the blood. And it'll help you love the tough ones. When Faith and I had our painting business, I used to be at the paint store picking up stuff for work, and I'd hear these contractors in there bad-mouthing customers and swearing at them and telling them how hard they were to work for. And I said, if they ever need any more work, tell them to call us, and we'll come. And I'll tell you, if you can please the person who is very picky, very particular, you'll have a successful business. But you can only do it through Christ. Otherwise, you just see people's faults and their weaknesses. But when we learn to love as he does and learn that we've been justified, that is plural. Paul said that we've been justified, cleared of all guilt, declared to be not guilty, declared to be righteous. Those are powerful truths. You might catch me in a moment here and there. Faith can be a good witness for that. I'm not always in that place where I'm thinking like that at that moment. But they're getting less and less, and they're not as intense. And I like that because it shows that the Holy Spirit continues to grow us up in Him. Being justified is a beautiful thing. And these are like, they're like a whole new set of clothing, like a spiritual clothing that we can put on and wear every day and don't take them off at night. It's almost like the armor of God, the whole armor. We just clothe ourselves in these things, and it produces joy in your life because you're not petty to start worrying and fussing about little small things that don't amount to anything anyway. Rejoice and be glad at what the Lord has done. And be more conscious of it during the day, because it'll really lift you up. I know some people don't watch the news anymore because you don't find a lot of good news in the news anymore. I watch some too. And if I don't catch myself, I can start getting negative, because faith comes by what we hear, doesn't it? And if we're hearing all this bad stuff, then we start talking that stuff, because we're releasing faith in what they've said, and we begin to speak it. But I have to really balance myself with the Word and with being informed and knowing we know who our enemy is, but the different ways that he manifests and reveals himself is really important for us for matters of prayer and binding and loosing and using the authority that God has given us to live that overcoming, victorious life, whether we feel like it or not. He says we're overcomers. He said we're more than conquerors. He said he always causes us to triumph in Christ. So be of good cheer. Be of good hope. He always causes us to triumph. How can you lose with that? Those are just some interesting thoughts that go along with these things. Because we come to build each other up. We come to encourage each other when we come together. And these truths, when they're spoken, they minister life to our spirit man. They get our minds off all the stuff that is going on all around us. And we can't hide from it. We're in this world, but we're no longer of it spiritually. But words like this really encourage me just to hear them in the room. And I just love to meditate on them. I love to think about them. And I love to share them because there's some treasures. You all have treasures to share. I just have a better opportunity sometimes. I give you opportunities, but you might be a little shy to share a treasure. But once in a while, we weasel one out of you through a testimony. But this is a place we can come and share those beautiful, beautiful things that the Lord is doing in our lives. So I leave you with that today. Go home knowing you're justified. No guilt, no shame, no unforgiveness, no room to meditate on anything else. Just think about Jesus, and brings a smile.